Hey guys, welcome to the new campfire session of the Interviews with the Haunting Masters, where we will be sharing those stories that have shaped us into the haunters that we are today. As an extra added bonus, once a month, I will be inviting one of you subscribers on the show to share your stories with us. Please let me know if you like this new addition to the podcast by leaving a comment on Podbean or a review on iTunes. Thank you. Now let's roll into the next episode.
Hi, welcome to the Interviews with the Haunting Masters, brought to you by theoutdoorinsiders.com, your number one spot for insider information and quality gear. Today we have with us on the phone a friend of mine. He's got a really badass name because he's a badass, Cullen Zion. He sounds like a badass, and he is a badass. So Cullen and I have haunted before. We haunted in Colorado, where he's from. He took me to some of his stomping grounds to chase some elk around, and it was a fun trip. Got my ass kicked a little bit, but we all did good for the most part. So, what's up, man?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just good. Finished up Colorado, actually.
How's the family?
Good. Yeah. Really good.
Cool. But you and all the boys get together and go set up camp and elk hunt this year at all? Or?
Yeah, set up the big camp again just with the Alaska trip. Didn't get to use it very much. Really did a kind of a mad scramble the last weekend's all I really hunted. Hunted one day, the second to last weekend was it.
Wow. Well, that's rough. Well, so tell me about Alaska. You just came off of a blacktail hunt in Alaska. You got a nice buck, I saw.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's kind of what ruined my Colorado hunting.
Yeah. Sorry, man. It's only October. You got to go. There's plenty of over-the-counter tags to go do other things. You just got to convince the wife.
I know it. I know it. Anyway. No, I didn't plan that good this year with the Alaska trip. I just put in preference points for all the states I usually apply for. So yeah. Sit around and duck hunt for most of it.
Yeesh. I'd go nuts if it was me. I gotta get my full 6 months of hunting in. At least one trip a month for 6 months. It's a lot more than that, but that's my minimum. So
tell me about the trip, man. I want to hear about it.
Right on. So yeah, we like I said, that's what screwed up Colorado for me, but we went to Southeast Alaska on Prince of Wales Island. Went there for a little over a week, and I mean, it was epic. We timed it right, weather. We flew in to Prince of Wales like midday. So then we backpacked up into the Alpine to hunt the deer and stayed up there for probably a few nights and got real lucky with the weather. Had a couple, like, little bit of rain and stuff at nights, but during the day was pretty good. Mm-hmm. Kind of the surprising thing was, is usually that time of year, weather's nice, the bucks are not hard to find, and it wasn't the case for us. I ended up getting on a bachelor group the first morning we were up there, and that's where I got my buck, but he was already kind of moved up down into the Alpine in the trees. I mean, it probably took, it was me and a buddy, Ryan, were kind of hunting that day, and it took us probably 2-3 hours to relocate him after glassing him. And then we got, after I killed that buck, just hung him up and stayed up there since it's nice and cool. And it took us another couple of days to turn up some more bucks, and we ended up killing two more, so 3 out of 4 of us killed. Nice. But it was good, got them off the mountain and spent the rest of the time just fishing. We limited out on our salmon. Then we're able to catch a charter the last day and do some halibut and rock fishing. But that was probably the only day of bad weather we had. We had some like 8-10 foot seas trying to halibut fish. It was nasty.
That don't sound like fun.
No.
That don't sound like fun at all. I don't like being on a boat when there's rough outside. That sucks.
Yeah, we definitely had one guy get pretty dang sick.
Yeah.
It was epic. That country was unbelievable. Like I said, with the good weather, clear views, you get up in that Alaska Alpine, I mean, you're staring at miles of islands because it's just a bunch of islands all through Prince of Wales. It's like basically surrounded by a bunch of other islands, so you're just staring at, I mean, as far as you can see, islands and ocean, and it was epic. Got some cool pictures. I haven't posted them or anything yet, but it was badass.
Sweet. Awesome. Well, I brought you on today as a campfire session, and I wanted you to share with us a story that maybe changed the way that you hunt. Maybe you learned something about, I don't know, elk hunting, deer hunting, whatever it is. And, you know, now it's like stuck with you for the rest of, you know, for the rest of your life. It may just be a way to haunt them or anything.
Mm-hmm. Probably my biggest one. I used to not call it elk at all. Like completely against it, made fun of people that did it. I'd be sitting on the mountain.
You didn't really call it elk when I was there in 2013. You're like, nah, we don't call at them. I'm like, okay.
Not very often. And it was actually, probably three years ago, maybe I finally gave in and started a little bit. And I decided to put it in the toolbox, but wasn't going to use it and still hated it. And that year we had a good rut and the stars aligned. And it was epic. It was pretty much everything I thought Colorado you couldn't do. It was like 4 days in a row. I was calling bulls into bow range, just didn't get a shot until like the fourth day and was killing a bull. Mm-hmm. And that day was one of those that's few and far between. I don't know if I've had another day in the woods like it, but it was something off a Primos video. Ended up calling three bulls in that morning. First one, same thing as happened before. Couldn't get a shot. He worked out. So kind of worked into where I thought he was, started calling, and there's a bull piked off probably 50 yards to my right. Mm-hmm. He started raking, going ballistic. So we went and he came in to like 10 feet and I shot him. He went off. And as I'm sitting there watching him cow calling, a third bull comes crashing in, goes to about 7 yards of me and staring at me going ballistic. And that was probably the biggest one that finally sold me on calling. And kind of since then, just kind of refining it a little bit. And like last year's bull, last year was a terrible rut in Colorado, just terrible. I hunted quite a bit of that season, and there was 2 days the elk were talking, basically the day before I killed mine and the day I killed mine. And the day before we're getting into them, I was kind of keeping quiet, wasn't calling a whole lot. And then finally that second day just kind of said, screw it, started going again. I mean, I watched that bull come in from 200 yards. Hardly made a sound himself, but he did the same thing, just came straight on an arrow just into my lap and was able to get him even on a horrible rut year. So that was probably my biggest one, just adding that to the repertoire, because spot and stock I'm very comfortable at. I like doing that, like chasing them up above timberline, glassing them, doing that way. But adding the calling into the mix that was probably my hugest one, because, I mean, now two out of my last three bulls I've called in. So
what kind of calls were you using? Now, see, let me give a little background, though, here. Where Cullen hunts, it's super high pressure. It's like a freaking zoo of people. I mean, you can get away from guys because there's a lot of country and there's a lot of elevation. You know, it's not too hard to get above and whatever, but lots and lots of people there. So I'm curious to see what it was that you started doing, what you started using. That.
Well, so I started out kind of like most. That first bull I called in and killed, I mean, just had one of those like Primos Terminators, external read, still work, just caught him in a fired up mode. But now I'll use all mouth reads. So started using the last couple years, some Phelps reads and one of his bugles, just a bugle tube. And that's gone really well. Yeah. Using diaphragm and bugle tubes. And those, just a lot of practice, gotten good with those. But more than anything, like with Colorado, I mean, you've been there, you've seen it. There's not a high bull to cow ratio, so it's hard to get bulls fired up, because it's just they can go steal cows all they want. They don't have to fight if they don't really want to. So it's being smart. I mean, I'll still sit on the hillside and listen to guys walk 100 yards up a trail, bugle, walk another 100 yards up a trail, bugle, and do that all the way. And you can even hear bulls respond to them, and all they're going to do is work up the ridge away from them. So really all I'll do in Colorado is I'll let off a locate every once in a while. If I get a response, I usually don't talk until I feel I'm almost in his living room. And I'll just work. Last time I heard the bugle, and then when I feel I'm probably within 100 yards of where I thought he was, I'll start going again, usually let out a couple cow calls, maybe bugle again. And if I get a response close, I'll just try to get him into a fighting mode. And I found that pretty good luck if you're kind of within that 100-yard range of a bull and surprise him like that. Mm-hmm. Even in Colorado, it tends to fire him up and they'll come after you, but kind of same thing. If I move up to where he thinks he is and he's moved since then, which sometimes you locate bugle, they'll bugle and haul ass. If I hear that, I'll just keep my mouth shut and kind of just keep working towards him. Try not to follow him bugling, just so he can't keep a beat on where I'm at. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. No. I mean, I remember when I thought I sold you on calling when I was there, when I was trying it your way for the first, I don't know, 5 days at a hunt.
Yeah.
I just suck at hunting that way. I'm not a good still hunter. Everything always sees me before I see it.
Yeah.
So I kind of, I either have to glass them up, which is pretty freaking hard to do in that country. I mean, if you do, you're seeing them from really far away, and by the time you get over to them, they're not there anymore. And then, or you're calling them. So
yeah.
So the last day and a half that we had to hunt there, I said, screw it, I'm doing this Johnny style. And I was going out in the dark at night, or not at night, but you know, while it was still dark out, like 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and I was bugling at night, and they were fired up at nighttime. Their bugles in it, and they're like, oh, there's no people out here, you know, or whatever. And I would just get in close. And it kind of screwed me that last morning when I actually had the shot opportunity, because I got the bull to come in to 15 yards, but it wasn't light enough for the camera to see. I could have shot him. I know I could have shot him. I mean, shit, at 15 yards, I could have freaking threw my arrow at him. But, you know, people don't like – I hear that all the time. Like, people are like, oh, you know, you can't call it these elk. You can't call it these elk. And it's just like you kind of like you figured it out. It's like you got to be smart about the way you can. You just can't go haphazardly. And you got to know what you're saying. Because if you're you know – the more and more I listen to really, really profound elk hunters, it's knowing what to say, when to say it, and how to say it, the intensity of it. And like you start figuring out all those little pieces, it's just like anything else, man. You start applying things and things start falling into place. And I wish I would have kind of thought that way beforehand when I first got there. I passed on 2 cows and I had that one bull, but I mean, all in all, I went home empty-handed. But I think I kept saying that to myself, oh, if I come back here next year, I'm going to get one, because I know what to do now. And plus we found a bunch of nice wallows too at the end too that I could have, you know, used during the middle of the day to sit and whatever. But And I just never made it back up there because I kept drawing elk tags, so in draw units. So I don't go over the counter if I don't have to. But
it's a horrible problem to have.
Yeah, right. Well, next year I think will be my last year that I have an opportunity to draw in a draw unit, unless I get here in Arizona. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm pretty much going to have drawn everywhere that I had any kind of points in. So
yeah.
Yeah, I got one more state that I have enough points possibly next year that I could draw. And then after that I'm screwed for a while. It's all OTC.
That's why they made Colorado.
Well, yeah, you know, and I've actually been wanting to go to Oregon too. I got some friends over there that are like prolific elk hunters. Shannon Mobs, I don't know if you've heard of them or seen them on social media at all. Him and Corey Ford, they just slay Rosies all the time, and I've been dying to go get one, because I had one. I went once in Washington, and I had two opportunities to kill an elk, and the first one, I mean, I had him at 30 yards dead. I even drew back on him. I said, "You're dead," and I let down. Because in my eyes, he was a raghorn. I got demolished when I got back into, because it was a drop camp type deal. Like we just paid, they set up camp for you and they gave you a map, said here, this is the area, all, you know, we were on private land, which is awesome because it saved us about a 4-mile hike, cut through this private land to get to, it was like paper company land actually what it was, but it's open to public to hunt. So it was awesome. It was a good setup. If anybody wants to do that, it's Mike Vaughn of Olympic Mountain Outfitters. Good guy. Cheap way to go elk hunting, you know, get a drop camp set up, but you know, and it's all DIY, after that. Anyway, so I got back to camp and I was like, you're freaking crazy. I showed, because we were putting the video up and whatever, you know, showing people. And they was like, oh, I can't believe you passed that. I've been hunting here for 10 years. I've never had an opportunity like that. Da, 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 da. I'm like, fuck it. I'm from Arizona. I have no freaking clue. You know, this is going back like 12 years ago now. I'm like, you know, it's a raghorn. I'm going to shoot that. And then I had an opportunity on a 5x5 and it was kind of an iffy shot. So I let down. which is usually not like me. I think I can make every shot that I'm presented to usually. I get that John Stallone is the greatest archer ego thing going sometimes. But it was one of the few times that I said to myself, you know what, I'm going to lose this bull if I make a bad shot right now. And I let down, then he never gave me another shot, and he was boogered out of there. And fuck it. Then mm-hmm. I kicked myself in the ass the rest of the time. So, anyway. I'll
tell you what, Rosie's just got on my bucket list this year. When we were actually at Prince of Wales, we stayed in the little cabin kind of after we backpacked in and we're fishing. The guy that owned it, his son drew – it's Edlin Island just east of Prince of Wales. And mm-hmm. it's a real hard tag to draw, but he went in there and just killed a bomber Rosie. And he got the horns back like the last day we were there, just bright orange from the going there. But I mean, it was, I think they came like 500 pounds of meat. I mean, they're like almost a moose wow. body on that thing. It took, yeah. It's a pretty remote island, but it was like 3 days getting that bull out for him. It was nuts. That hunt's kind of now on my bucket list, but.
Yeah, they're big SO. They could get to like 1500 pounds, I understand, which is that's amazing. Yeah, you know, that's crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly. crazy. Exactly. So believe it or not, in 2013 in Arizona, nobody, I don't know, I got into such a big argument on social media about this. And if it wasn't for the fact that I had, you know, three other friends with me, Billy Babish and Daniel John Ricardo, I got the meat back, and the processor told me it was 500 pounds of meat, and that the bull weighed 1,139 pounds, something like that, you know, live weight. And everybody's like, no way. In Arizona, they don't ever get bigger than like 8, 9, you know, 8, 9, 9 is like really pushing it, mm-hmm. you know, but 800 pounds, 700, 800 pounds. I'm like, well, hey, you know, all I know is it took freaking six guys to drag it up a ramp to get it into my truck without the guts in it. Mm-hmm. And you know, when I dropped it off, they weighed it and they said it was this much. I'm sure he was probably, you know, trying to screw me a little bit, but maybe, I don't know. I mean, it was crazy how big it was. I was like,
yeah,
that was like a really, that's the biggest bodied elk I had ever seen in Arizona for sure.
Yeah.
So anyway,
no.
So share with me a hunt, like your most outrageous hunt, your most memorable hunt. Just try to paint the picture, be as detailed as possible. Take us on the journey.
So it'd either be, I mean, that the last one I just went on was epic, just because what we did, but probably one of the, it was at the time probably the worst hunt I've ever been on, but it worked out pretty good. And it was really just a one-day deal. I had a muzzleloader tagged out for color. It was probably 2009, 2010. And with a buddy of mine, there's actually four of us kind of did a big loop hunt, like our main camp in Colorado we go to. You drive around and you actually go up above 12,000 feet, cross a pass, and you loop down to a camp. If you just hike straight on the trails, it's about 10 to 11 miles. So it's a good all day. I mean, you're 12, 13, probably pushing the day of hunting, dropping in a bench is a great hunt. So we went up there and we kind of split up into twos, had my buddy with me, and I was muzzleloading hunting. And pretty good. I mean, one of the better rut days I've had up in Colorado. I'd say probably one of the top 3 years. They're going ballistic all night. I mean, it's one of those the night before you couldn't hardly sleep. I mean, I had my buddy like punching me in the shoulder all night, like, you're hearing that, I'm telling them to shut up because I'm tired and ready to sleep. We get up the next morning, they just went ballistic, chased them like crazy in the morning, then had a little bit of a lull. And then about 11 o'clock, they just kicked up again. We got right on a bull and some cows and ended up having bull chase cows right in front of us. That part was pretty uneventful. I mean, I got the shot. It was right there, broadside, close, muzzleloader, he dropped. What we didn't quite realize is after we shot it, my old man was with us. He was kind of had the other group of two. And we talked about, you know, if we get one, I have the muzzleloader, take another shot about 5 minutes later. So I shot up a second time. And they were a ways away, but they looped around to us. And my buddy and I really didn't have a clue kind of where we were at in that trip. So mm-hmm. we didn't know kind of how terrible of a spot I killed it in. But if you looked at a map from like where we start to finish and you're going to put a dot like dead center for the worst spot to kill it, I mean, I would right there, just dumped it right there. So my dad gets up there, just starts shaking his head. He's like, the stupidest thing you could possibly do. And that was actually kind of an aha moment for me too, because at the time, even living in Colorado and hunting elk my whole life, when you kill one, you always go up with a day pack, kill one, go back to the truck, get your pack frame, go back up and get the elk. So that's how we were packed. Like even my old man, we had day packs on, these little tiny day packs that we couldn't fit a pack strap in if we wanted to. So we get up there and we're trying to figure out how to get it on. We're all looking. I mean, we were 5 miles from the nearest trailhead. Like, Jesus. How the hell are we going to get this thing out of here? And so my buddy ended up having, he had probably like a 3,000 cubic inch Osprey pack. So we got a quarter in his, got a quarter in the other guy. Me and my dad ended up having to just do like the cheap Alaskan game bags, stuff the meat in there and like split it in half and had to kind of just fling it over
our necks. Oof. Yeah. I've done that.
Oh, fuck. It was bad. I mean, we're going and we had, there was one, it's kind of an old like sheep herders trail. My dad knew of, thankfully, didn't make the trip any shorter, but we were talking, all right, we're going to cross this canyon. Kind of got to go down and up. We'll get to that trail and then we'll drop the meat and go get the pack frames. It was like 3 hours to hit that trail. We went down the canyon, and you've been in that country, down timber all over the damn place. Oh, yes. We're crawling. So you're just chucking the game bags as far as you can throw them and then climbing over logs, getting it, chucking it as far as you can throw it. Oof. Did that for 2-3 hours, got to the trail. When we were there, we probably had like 3 more miles to go. And we were all just sitting there like, there ain't no way in hell I'm getting this thing back, coming back up here in the morning. So ended up doing that whole dang trip. All of us just meat bags slung over our necks. I mean, I came up with probably about 300 pounds worth of meat off that bull too. So they were heavy loads. They were 80, 90 pound loads just dragging on the neck. I mean, it was brutal. We got down to the truck. I killed that thing at 11 o'clock. And I mean, we were down to the truck by probably, it was 7 or 8 o'clock at night. When we finally got down there. And I mean, it was when it hit the ground, we were quartering and going at that point. But I've never been into the elk woods since without a load hauling pack. I don't care if it's a simple day hunt after that one.
Yeah. I see my, even my day pack has like 2,200 cubic inches and it's got an internal frame. So I've taken, you know, a third of a deer out with it. And, you know, you could take maybe an elk quarter with it if you had to.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. I think getting more, I think the smallest pack I have is probably 3,000, 4,000 cubic inches anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I've been there, done that, unfortunately. And at one time I did it without game bags too. I'm like, shit. What was I thinking? I forgot to put game bags in my backpack. And I'm like, oh, Christ. I had a couple garbage bags, which is terrible because the meat, you know. So I'm like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, I'll put the head. I don't know what that was. It was just a disaster. Thank God we weren't too far. And it wasn't in country that you were in. I mean, it was rolling hills, kind of more antelope-y looking stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but it was still shitty. I was like, cause I was basically, I had legs like this and it was a deer, but it wasn't an elk. I was carrying two on my shoulders. I got freaking blood in my hair, my ears and freaking flies all over me. Cause it was like first week of September. Yeah. That was fucking terrible.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Being unprepared sucks.
Oh yeah.
Being unprepared sucks.
Yeah,
that's like the worst feeling. I go back. I tell this story, not like the whole story, but I tell a version of it all the time. My biggest fear, not my biggest fear, but I hate being caught with my pants down. And I got one time I was hunting by myself, and I got turned around. I was stalking these bucks, and it was here in Flagstaff. And there's roads everywhere, you know? So it's like, you know, you're never really that far away from something.
Mm-hmm.
I had just gotten a brand new GPS and I didn't know how to use the damn thing. It was like, I think it was when Garmin first came out with the Rhino, the very, very first, version of the Rhino. And I didn't know how to use it. I didn't mark the truck. And I got lost. But I was misplaced because I knew basically where I was, and it got dark and my headlamp had no batteries in it. So I end up like starting a fire with, I had the light from my, what do you call it? My sight. I had one of those little UV light, whatever it is, you know, to light up your pins. It was one of my Copper John sight. I took that out and I kind of was, I had that in my mouth and I'm using that to see what the hell I'm doing. Luckily I had fire, you know, starting capabilities. I started a little fire, and the best part about it is I had radio contact with my buddy near. It's first time hunting. And he ended up sleeping in the truck. And I was like, listen, I don't want to start walking in just any freaking direction. I had no compass. I had no, like I didn't know. I literally spent the night out in the woods because of little stupid shit. Like, you know, and it turned out that I really was, I was only maybe 3/4 of a mile, maybe a mile from the truck. Like, it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad at all. But, you know, just stupid stuff. And I know I've had a lot worse situations, but now, ever since then, now I always carry the proper stuff. You know, if I have to spend the night out there, I have a Mylar blanket. I got all that, like, you know, just little stuff that doesn't, you know, take too much to carry with you. But yeah, like another time I went on a stalk and I dropped my pack to go on a stalk after this. And I basically, it got dark and I couldn't find my pack. Luckily, I knew where the truck was. Eventually, I got to the truck and I had to end up having to go back in the morning to go get my pack, find my pack, because I freaking left it out there. And I was like, so, you know, it's just like all these little things you learn and you try to like not make those same mistakes over and over again. But, you know.
And the dropping the pack thing, I've been guilty of that multiple times. High country mule deer, I've killed myself doing that. Drop it on the peak you're glassing them from. You're dropping 1,500 feet. You're moving around. Next thing you know, you're 2 miles. You don't have water. You don't have anything to do. You're like, Jesus.
So, I mean, now I still do it. And if I have a spotter, you know, because a lot of times, you know, in Arizona, we can use radios. Utah, you can use radios. California, you can use radios. I mean, a lot of places you can use radios, even though Colorado won't let you. Colorado. Stupid rule, in my opinion. But, yeah, so now, you know, if I have a spotter or whatever, I'll drop it with them. But one of the things I did, you know what? Maybe I have it here. Hold on, I'm gonna show you something. Oh no, I don't. Anyway, I have I wear my binos in a marsupial pack, and it's got just enough room. I got a flashlight. I got a knife in there that has a fire starting rod. Has a little tinder bundle in there, and a couple little odd end things, you know, just super basic survival needs, you know. Yeah. So if I ever do drop a pack and I, you know, after something, shoot something, and then I got, you know, misplaced again, I can, you know, make do with what I got.
Those bino harnesses are clutch. I've got an Alaskan Guide Creation. I got their Max with the bottom pocket. It's all that bottom pocket is. Has those MSR Aqua tabs, fire starter. I mean, those things are huge. They're great.
Those are really big. And they carry a lot. If you're gonna, I just did a bino harness review last season, and they rated really high for me. I liked them. I liked the capacity. Ultimately, functionality wise, I like the marsupial better because of the magnetic and the way it opens and the way it stays open and so on and so forth. It's just easier as a bow hunter. But for sheer, like being able to carry what the hell you need. Yeah. Those are the ticket. Those Alaskan Guide Gear ones. Yeah, for sure. So, well, cool, man. Well, you don't have any other hunts planned for the year, huh?
Not really. Like I said, I did preference points for almost all the states with that Alaska trip, but do January, we're going to go down to Arizona.
I was going to say, you and Daddy want to come down?
Okay. Yeah, do that. So that'll be fun. I actually have a couple buddies that are going to join us this year, one that's done it before, and then another buddy, he's the one that – one of the guys that went up to Alaska with me. He's going to go down. I think this will be his – used to live in Arizona, but this will be the first time doing the hunt with us. So I have a pretty good group down there this year. It'll be fun.
Nice. Nice. You going to be with John or no?
You know, we talked to him. I know he's guiding a little bit in January. So I think it's just going to be depending on when his clients, if he's not running clients, I think he's going to swing by and hunt with us a little bit. So
sweet.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll be down there. I got a rifle mule deer tag, first time ever in Arizona, because I've never put in for it. I put in for December muley, like a rut tag.
Oh yeah.
I drew unit 21, so I'm not going to be running around with the bow for the first time in December. Well, I shouldn't say the first time, because I've drawn plenty of rifle coos deer hunts that time of year. But this is the first time I was like, you know what? I'm going to try this. I got enough points. Let me see. I had been doing the leftover tag thing for like four years or something like that. And I'm like, screw it. I got enough points. Let me put it in for it and see what happens. And sure enough, I drew it. I was like, wow, this is awesome. I got an opportunity to actually kill one of these ones that I've been chasing for a long time. Like if this buck is still alive, there's a buck called Big Sexy that I've chased now. This will be year four. This will be year four. If he's still alive and running around, you know, I've had so many encounters where I was like at 75 yards or 60 yards and it just, I'm like, I could have killed him 20 times over if I had a rifle. Mm-hmm. So if he's still alive and he shows back up in the area that I know he always comes to every year. And so like clockwork, the day after Christmas, he's there. Boom. If he's there.
Are they closing archery in 21 in December this year? I noticed they did it last year for the first time. And I think
And that's the other reason why I put in for it. I was like,
so that'll be fun. That'll be an empty unit.
It won't be because people still go and do it. Yeah. Like last year, there was people all over 20. I went out there to go for January, and there was people hunting everywhere.
No kidding.
People don't give a shit. Well, you know what? This year, I mean, last year people didn't know about it, so I was like, give everybody benefit of the doubt. But if you're in 21 this year, you're getting I'll tell you, and if you still stay, you're getting the phone call. Because you know what? People freaking try to screw me all the time. And get, you know, like, it's ridiculous the jealousy that goes on in this. I just had a conversation with a friend of mine. He's like, I don't want to do the social media thing anymore, man. I'm like, why? He's like, well, it's like every time I kill something big, somebody tries to call the fishing game on me to come, you know, makes up some story about what I did and how I did it. And it's like, I get it. I don't get that crazy, but you know, I've had plenty of instances where, you know, I got to defend myself, you know, and it's just not fair. It's not fun.
Yeah. You know, absolutely. Just
because you can't shoot shit every year, you know, I it's not my problem, you know.
Yeah.
Listen to my podcast more and you might learn something. Just kidding. But no, seriously. Well, cool, man. Well, let me know when you guys are coming down for January, because maybe I'll come hang out with you guys for a couple of days down there.
Oh, yeah. Definitely should.
So same unit?
Yeah, probably. Probably hunt that same area. And we're looking either going to be that week of January 15th or the following. Going to try to hit the end of Javelina, hit the middle of the month. Seems to work out with everybody's schedule. So figure that out and I'll let you know.
Cool. Yeah, I'll have that Javelina tag too. I always put in for that. I think same units. Good deal. Awesome, bro. Well, it was good catching up with you. You know, if I don't draw an elk tag next year, maybe I'll come see you in Colorado and break your chops again.
Yeah, always welcome.
So, all right, brother. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Have a good one.